DeChambeau in the clubhouse, leading by three shots, a 7-under-65. The start was delayed for 2.5 hours, by the way, due to weather. So Denny Willett, Will Zalatoris, Scotty Scheffler are those three shots off the pace at 4-under. Cam Davis was he's dropped a shot. He's back to 2-under after 10 holes. And where's our man Cameron Smith on this leaderboard? Maybe Adam Pengilly knows. Morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, Middo. Morning, boys. Yeah, unfortunately for Cameron Smith, he found a familiar fate going in the drink on 12 on that famous hole. His tee shot ended up in the drink. He took a double bogey and he's back to even par, unfortunately. So, yeah, promising starters all come undone with one shot so far for Smithy.
Gee, Bryson DeChambeau, that's an outstanding opening round, isn't it? And Tiger, don't know where if you've seen much of Tiger. He birdied the first and was 1-under through three and looked to be playing pretty well.
Yeah, he just made bogey on the fourth, though, so he's back to even par. That's a tough hole, the fourth. It's a long, long par three. I think Jason Day just made double bogey on that hole as well after making a birdie on his opening few holes. So that group obviously struggling a little bit with the fourth hole. I've caught a bit of the action this morning, Mido. It looks fantastic. Great start by Bryson DeChambeau, but what about Scotty Scheffler?
He's lurking.
He's lurking. Do you know there's actually a big story actually developing with Scotty Scheffler? Because his wife is due to give birth any moment now. And he's almost flat saying that he'll go to the birth and obviously withdraw from the tournament if that happens. So I reckon there's about 80 other golfers in the tournament.
Hold on. What does that mean for the guys who have backed him? I don't know who's backed him, but a couple of my mates have absolutely belted him.
Money back, maybe, Grub. Who knows?
Oh, awesome, awesome. Good to know.
But, let's be honest. If he's in contention on Sunday and she goes into labour, I'm tipping he stays and plays the final round of the Masters. He chipped in off the bunker on the back of 12. You just think, okay, wow, this guy is completely dialed in. So, yeah, most people thought he was going to be hard to beat this week, and he certainly started the tournament like he's going to be hard to beat. And just catching a bit of the other action, boys. Minwoo Lee obviously had a pretty torrid start to the tournament. He's four over, I think Evan told you guys. He got back to even par, and now he's dropped another couple of shots on a couple of holes back to two over. So it's been up and down day for the Aussies so far. And, it's going to be, looks like Bryson DeChambeau and Scotty Scheffler are the men to beat at the moment.
All right, let's talk some NRL. What did you make of the Roosters' performance against Newcastle last night?
Yeah, good win, Loz. They certainly needed it, didn't they, given their start to the season. But I just can't help but think, given a team like Newcastle, they're going to be sort of scrappy and clawing, and they've got fine margins if they want to make the top eight this year. They're going to rue that game last night, I reckon. And even you go down to the very last set of the game, Caelan Ponga makes that break, long break off the kick return. He looks around, there's no one with him. And then on one of the final plays of the game with 20 or 30 seconds to go, Adam Elliott standing there begging for someone to push up and support him for an offload. They would have scored. He was 2 or 3 metres out from the line. And you've got guys like Jackson Hastings and Kai Pearce-Paul, so it looks like they're setting up for the next play. And I get it. They've played 79 minutes and 30 seconds, and obviously their legs and lungs are burning. But when you look at a game like that, it just comes down to fine margins. And I think the Roosters deserve their win. Joey Manu. Has there been a player, guys? I'll ask this question. Has there been a player in the last 10 or 20 years who's been such a consistently good player that's never properly played in their preferred position? Because that's what he is. He could be an absolute elite fullback in our game if he played there every week, but just because of the team he plays for, he doesn't get to play there.
I could think of one at representative level, Tom Turbo.
Mm. Yeah, he'd be the other one was at rep level, but I'm talking about more club level more than anything.
Yeah, club level. Oh, offhand, I can't think of one. No. I'm sure there's someone. Mm. Josh Reynolds. Hooker.
Yeah. Well, I did have a good record at the Tigers. Yeah. I was there for 3 years, played six games, but six good games.
Six good ones. Yeah.
And it's still your fault, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. 18 Dally M points.
Yeah. Just got them all. You're right, Adam, though. I totally agree with you. They are a big play team, Newcastle. I find that they look to Caelan for a big play. Mm. They look to set up for that big play. Adam Elliott, you know, like you said, however long to go, looking for that offload. I think, I sort of mentioned earlier on in the show, I think without Caelan, if anything did happen to him through the year, they would really struggle. But nice bounce back from the Roosters in that game. Made on to South. Obviously, plenty happening there. Mal Meninga has been tossed up for the job. But it's been documented that he might not be able to do the South role as well as the Kangaroos. What are you hearing about that, mate?
Yeah, I think that's true, Josh. Like, he might have a choice to make, and clearly South haven't gone down this path yet. Jason Demetriou is still coaching South tomorrow night against the Sharks, and he potentially might have a few more games as well to try and turn them around. But certainly the word yesterday was that if Mal wants to take on the South role in a caretaker capacity, it will have to come at the expense of the Kangaroos job. I don't think the Australian Rugby League Commission is completely comfortable with him doing both jobs, if that's going to be the case. So, and Mal came out yesterday saying that he doesn't want to forego the Australian job if it comes down to that. So we might not have a conversation at all, or not, there might not be a conversation to be had at all after this, because Mal might have to make a choice, and I think he'll probably side with the Kangaroos. We know he's done that job for such a long period of time. He's extremely proud to be the Australian coach. So I don't think he wants to do anything that could sacrifice that or put that in jeopardy, so to speak. So, yeah, it might not be as straightforward as what a lot of people were thinking.
I'll tell you what, Adam, and I know it's part of the territory when you're a first-grade coach, but, geez, I feel sorry for Jason Demetriou.
Oh, I agree with you, Loz. I 100% agree with you. I think you'd just like to know where he stands.
Yep.
I think South's hierarchy and their officials and owners just want to see their team put in some effort tomorrow night and really have a crack. I know it sounds simplistic and whatever else, and we talk about the game being wins and losses, but the thing they've been most concerned about is the manner of their defeats. And if they get another one like that against tomorrow night, well, then it might be hard for him to survive the bye round getting into round eight. But if they bite down the mouth guard and have a real crack tomorrow night, even if they don't win, it might buy them just a little bit more time to try and work on them throughout that bye week and see how they go against Penrith and Melbourne in their next two games. And then who knows what can happen. But I think they need to have a good performance, really test the Sharks and show they're playing for their coach. And if they do, I reckon he might still be in charge heading into the week after the bye.
Adam, plenty of talk around Josh Schuster. He got granted some personal leave. Obviously told by Manly he's able to look elsewhere. Are there any clubs jumping out as favourites to get his services, mate?
Yeah, I don't think so, Josh, at this stage. Initial ring around of most of the clubs in NRL yesterday. And, of course, it's only very fresh. It only happened sort of 24 hours ago. But most clubs have sort of said thanks, but no thanks at the moment. Mm. Now, I'm not going to say that will change. That can change, no. Boz. You know that better than most.
Yeah. Adam, can I just ask, mate? You probably don't know the answer, because I don't know whether a lot of people do know the answer to how his contract is structured. But I'm thinking it's all about value and it's all about price. But if someone's going to pay $800 for him, I don't think anyone will be prepared to do that.
Oh, not a chance. There wouldn't be a chance in hell anyone would go anywhere near $800,000 for Josh Schuster from what he's shown the last couple of years. Mm. Now, if we get 2 or 3 months down the line, and all of a sudden someone goes, you know what, I might be able to get Josh Schuster for $250,000 or $300,000. Do you think a club's going to take a risk on that? I would say maybe. Maybe, yeah. Exactly. I reckon there's a chance. So, listen, the club's done the right thing by Josh in terms of granting him some personal leave. So they're going to give him a couple of weeks to get away from rugby league, get away from that club environment, just try and work on his headspace, which I think is the right thing to do. Obviously, his management will work on trying to get something sorted in the next month or two, but I wouldn't expect anything to happen quickly. And you know what? There was one guy I thought about yesterday that might be a good example for Josh Schuster. I think he knows him pretty well, as Moses Sully. Like, everyone remembers the start of his career, Moses Sully had a lot of issues. It was the Bulldogs and then at the Tigers, had issues with his weight and his application and everything like that. It took him a little bit of time to work out how to sort of get the best out of himself in a disciplined training environment like the NRL. But look at him now. I reckon he's a great player. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I thought a bit about this yesterday when we spoke to you, and you did mention the death of his great mate, Keith Titmus. I think that's not to be underestimated. I think that's had an enormous impact on him. And I know he had issues in terms of training beforehand, but I really do think that he needs a bit of love, care, attention.
Mm.
And I know that people will say, well, he's had that. And as a professional athlete, it's your job to get yourself ready in good physical peak performance to play NRL. But not everyone's the same. And I think you've got to work out personalities and you've got to treat people a little bit differently as well. And I think that the good coaches identify those players that need to be treated differently, and he just strikes me as one of those.
I
don't know him at all, but I think he just needs a bit more love and attention than some of the others.
Yeah, and just going back to that Keith Sittner's point you raised there, Loz, and some of the evidence that was tabled in that coronial inquest was just heartbreaking. Like some of the evidence was that after Keith had his collapse in the dojo there at Narrabeen and had his seizure and whatever else, like Josh Schuster was there holding his hands as paramedics were trying to work on him, right? And the paramedics were virtually saying to Josh, mate, we need to clear the space. We've got to work on him desperately. And Josh was holding his hands because he didn't want to let him go. And that sort of stuff just breaks your heart, doesn't it? Like, it's so heavy. And I think you make a very, very good point, Loz. Like, it's, you know, you can't underestimate what impact that had on the kid going back a few years ago. He was still only a teenager at the time as well, right? His best mate. It's heartbreaking, right?
We better get a tip for tomorrow, mate.
I founded a really good program. I like one in the Arrowfield, actually, as a bit of value. Race 5, number 11, Jolie Star. I know she's only first up, and she might want to get over a bit further ground, but I think there's a lot of speed in this race. I think there's got to be a few question marks over Osmosis after his first up performance. I think she can just settle midfield and hopefully blend into the race. Will it be too short for her? Yeah, it might be, but I think she's definitely a class filly, and I'd give her a massive favourite running a race at an each-way price. So that's race 5, number 11, Jolie Star, the best value on the program.
$8.50 with Tab and $2.80 the place. Have a good weekend, mate.
See you, boys.